Praise the Lord. God is good. I'm telling you, there's one thing about singing, and there's another thing about singing from the heart when God has done something in your soul. Praise God. Well, music's been good again. I'll tell you, I'm overwhelmed every time. I mean, no matter what you're going through the week, you come to church, and it's like, okay, everything's good. Can't wait for Wednesday night. Can't wait for Sunday. But unless you're the preacher, then you know you got to preach. Amen. Tell Brother Alexander all the time, one thing about preaching, Sunday's always coming. It never stops. But that's okay. Let's take our Bible and go to 1 Kings 11 and 2 Chronicles 9. 1 Kings 11 and 2 Chronicles 9. Go ahead and stand. I'm going to preach on the obituary of Solomon tonight. Very simple message. But we saw last week that the kingdom, of course, is going to be split because, unfortunately, Jeroboam and Rehoboam both are going to be men who do not follow godly wisdom, and the kingdom is going to be split. And once we split the kingdom, we're going to find out that we'll be reading stories of Judah, kings in the south, and we'll be reading stories about kings in the north. There's never a good king in the north, yet this is amazing to me, if you'll remember this, that God promised Jeroboam that if he would walk in the ways of God, that he would establish the kingdom of Israel. Yet we find, or we will find, that he ended up in calf worship. And all through the Bible, all through the Old Testament, as we continue in the stories of the kings and the prophets, you'll read he walked in the ways of his father Jeroboam, who did evil in the sight of God. Now, it doesn't change. We have the same choice tonight. And tonight we're going to read what I call the obituary of Solomon. The obituary of Solomon. And outside of the rapture, all of us are going to have an obituary written about us one day. Unless the Lord comes back, we won't have time to write your obituary if the rapture takes place. But if you die, there's more than likely Brother Fred will stand up here and read your obituary. Somebody say amen. Amen. Well, we're going to read Solomon's obituary tonight, and it's really kind of sad. And we look at it in 1 Kings chapter 11 and verse 41. And the rest of the acts of Solomon and all that he did and his wisdom, are they not written in the book of the acts of Solomon? And the time that Solomon reigned in Jerusalem over Israel, over all of Israel, was 40 years. And Solomon slept with his fathers and was buried in the city of David his father, and Rehoboam his son reigned in his stead. Isn't it amazing that of the 700 wives and the concubines that Solomon had, we would assume that there were many children, yet Rehoboam is the only one mentioned. Now notice with me in 2 Chronicles chapter 11, 2 Chronicles chapter 9 I should say, 2 Chronicles chapter 9, we read almost the same words, just a little bit difference here as we read what I call the obituary of Solomon. 2 Chronicles chapter 9, verse 29. And you need to stay in both of these. I'll go back and forth here. Now the rest of the acts of Solomon, first and last, are they not written in the book of Nathan the prophet and in the prophecy of Haggai the Shilonite and in the visions of Iddo the seer against Jeroboam the son of Nebat? And Solomon reigned in Jerusalem over all Israel 40 years. And Solomon slept with his fathers, and he was buried in the city of David his father, and Rehoboam his son reigned in his stead. You can be seated tonight. Have you ever thought about, one day they're going to write my obituary. One day they're going to write your obituary. And in that obituary, it'll say maybe where you were born and where you died. They never tell you how, you know, if you ever noticed obituary, they never tell you exactly how you died. I read obituaries all the time, and I go, well, how come they don't tell us how they died? Maybe I'm just morbid like that, I don't know. Because really it doesn't matter, you're dead. And they write that little obituary, they call it a memorial, and I call it an obituary, and they tell a little bit about your life in a one-page summary. And really, when you look at the obituary of Solomon, if you see these verses, we basically see Solomon's obituary written in three verses. And it's like the rest of the acts of Solomon, all that he did, his will, are they not written in a book? Now, we don't know what those books are. We don't have the book of the visions of Edo. We don't have the book of Nathan. We don't have what the prophets wrote about those books. But it shows us that there's a record of everything that Solomon did, really, since he became king. Now, if you go back in the beginning, Solomon, when we first started the life of Solomon, all the way back in 1 Kings 3, we made mention that God gave him wisdom that was beyond anything that we could imagine. And because Solomon had that wisdom, he also had great wealth and he had great wisdom. And we saw the wisdom in the story between the two women who one had a baby that died and they lived together. And Solomon was wise enough to know that if he said, I'm going to cut the baby in half, that the woman who was the real baby, she would say, no, give it to the other mother. And Solomon understood. That's great wisdom. Then we saw the Proverbs and the songs that Solomon wrote. You can go to the book of Ecclesiastes. You can see the wisdom of Solomon. All of that, listen to this, all of that because he had a heart for God. He said, God, give me wisdom. And the Bible said he loved the Lord, 1 Kings 3. He loved the Lord thy God. And because he loved God, God knew that he would ask for the right things. But now Solomon, who in the beginning had a heart for God, is now going to die with God's anger upon him and God's judgment upon him. You understand that Solomon died very young. We understood that when we began, we said Solomon was probably somewhere between 16 and 20 years of age when he began to reign. And he even said things like this, God, I don't know how to deal with these people. I'm only here because of my father David. I am but a little child. I don't even know how to go out. I don't even know how to come in. Lord, if you would give me wisdom on how to deal with these people, it would be what I need. And now we find out that he reigns in all of Israel for 40 years, which means that he would have been in his early 60s when he died. Could it be that he died a premature death because of the anger of God and because of the judgment of God? The answer is yes, very likely. Very likely. Truly, he died in a backslidden condition. The Bible makes it very clear that really he died under a cloud, and therefore the last years of his life were not good. You know, as we get older, we should want to finish good. Amen. Me and my wife talk about this. I see men who don't finish good, who don't finish right. No, we should want, if we're going to do right in our younger years, in our middle years, then we should do right in our older years. We all have the choice to finish our life either for good or for bad. Now you say, well, I'm young. Well, one day you won't be. One day we're all going to be in the place where they're going to write our obituary. There is nothing sadder than to see someone who has served God for most of their life only to finish bad. That's what Solomon did. Now here's the thing about Solomon's obituary. First of all, Solomon had a record. We all have a record. Do you understand that? There is a record being written about us right now. Now the Bible says in verse 41 of 1 Kings chapter 11, and the rest of the acts of Solomon. You know what that means? That means that there was a record of all that Solomon did. Now, over in the Chronicles, it tells us that there were these men who wrote books about Solomon. They kept a historical record of everything that happened in the life of Solomon. Now, here's how we can make an application. We all have a record being written of what we're doing. Listen, let me put it like this. You can read obituaries all day long, but they don't tell the whole story. An obituary only tells what people want you to hear. And usually that might be the highlights of your life, things that people want to hear, usually whatever the wife wants to be, or whoever is writing, the children. This is what we remember. This is what the record is. Well, listen, the term here used, the rest of the acts, It really means the remainder of what is left over. Meaning, maybe the scriptures doesn't record everything that Solomon did, and maybe everything that those men recorded is not the whole picture. But here's what we've got to understand tonight. God records the whole picture. God knows the record. And God's obituary is very likely different than the obituary that will be read by us. Our obituary does not tell the rest of the acts, only what people want you to know. God has the whole record. Much was recorded about Solomon, and while we may not know it all, listen to me, God knows it all. Now, God chooses to tell us some of the things about Solomon, like his heart was right, then his heart wasn't right, and God was angry with him. And God judged him, and we see that through Jeroboam and through Rehoboam, and we see that the kingdom is split. Why? Because God is angry at idolatry. If there is one thing that you read throughout the Old Testament that God hates, it is idolatry. He makes it clear in the law. He makes it clear in the Ten Commandments. He makes it clear that he's a jealous God. He makes it clear that he doesn't want anything else to be worshipped except for him. Amen. Yet we find out that these women turned Solomon's heart away from God. And therefore, God has the whole record. Just like Solomon, our acts, our words, our deeds, our life is recorded by God. And while Solomon had a lot of recorded of him in the human records, God has a record of everything we say and everything we do. And oh, by the way, he even records our motives and why we do the things we do. In Matthew chapter 12, verse 36, listen to this. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. In Psalm 139, in verses 2 through 4, thou knowest my downsitting, mine uprising, thou understandest my thought afar off, thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways, for there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Do you get the picture? God has a record. Solomon had a record. We have a record. Another term that is found in verse number 11 is not only do we read and the rest of the acts of Solomon, then notice this next when it says, and all that he did. All that he did. That means all is on record with God. Listen to this. Whether it be good or whether it be bad. In Romans chapter 14, the Bible says, to those who are saved by God's grace, we all shall stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Nobody is exempt from this judgment. If you're saved. If you're not saved, you will stand before God in the book of the Revelation says before the great white throne judgment and you shall be cast into hell. The Bible is very clear. But in this judgment seat of Christ, we're going to give an account of everything we've done since we've been saved. In Romans 14, 12, two verses later it says, so then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10 says, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done. Listen to this. Whether it be good or bad. You know what that means? That means we've done good and we've done bad. And we're going to give an account of both of that. Everything we say, everything we do, every motive we have. Is everybody listening to this? Now to me, that is a very purifying doctrine, just like the second coming of Christ. If you really believe that Jesus could come at any moment, then it will dictate how you live. There's a record being kept. We're all writing a book about our life. What goes in that book may not be what we would like, just like the end of Solomon's life, but it is our conduct that controls the content of our personal book that is being written. Now, I've said this before. If I was to say this morning, hey, we have a special machine that we're going to put up here and it's going to shine a light into our heart and it's going to come out the back of our head. So it's going to go in our heart. It's going to come out the back of our head and this light's going to shine up on the screen up here and it's going to show what's going on inside of us. You know how many would be here tonight? Zero. Zero. But yet, you know that's exactly what's going to take place. Now, it may not be exactly like that, but God knows everything going on. You know why? Because there's a book. There's a record of what's going on. Now, the question becomes this. You know, I love reading books. There's no doubt about it. I read a lot of history books. I understand that. But every once in a while, I got to get me out one of them Sherlock Holmes books. And I'm always amazed at how, first of all, I'm always amazed that a guy can write that to make it make sense on the ending of the book. Or some kind of mystery or something like that. And so, now I'm sure you've never done this, but I'll be reading half the book and I say, I can't take this. I go at the end of the book and I read it. Oh, okay, that's it. And then I go back and finish reading it. Come on now. Here's the question. What's the ending of our book? What will it be? Some books are very early in the writing. You understand? Very early. Some books are about halfway done. Some books are almost finished. And the question will be, how will your book end? 2 Chronicles 9 mentions books that are recorded by Nathan, Haggai, and Iddo. We don't know what these books say. Now, it's always the curious thing of man's brain to go, I'd like to read those records. Well, it doesn't matter. The most important thing to understand is Solomon had a record. And whatever it was in those books, God knows what they were. And God knows more than what was in those books. And God knows more than even what He allows us to see. Solomon had a reign. He was in Jerusalem for 40 years. Solomon was the third king in a row that reigned for 40 years. Think about that. Saul reigned for 40 years. David reigned for 40 years. And Solomon, the Bible says, reigned over all of Israel for 40 years. That's a total of 120 years with three kings. Can you imagine that? What, can you imagine having only three presidents in the United States for 120 years? We're just glad when one of the four-year terms is finally over. Somebody say amen, at least to that. I mean, that's easy. But what this means for Solomon is that he died young. Because 60 is very young. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
That was a great place for all the old people to say amen. You know what? His life was shortened, I believe, because he didn't finish right.
Amen.
He did not finish right at all. Isn't that sad? Man, can you imagine that God would have blessed a man so much like Solomon that he would give him wisdom wiser than any man that's ever lived outside of the Lord Jesus Christ. But he was God and God knows everything. And the Proverbs that he wrote. I mean, every day we read a proverb. Isn't it amazing, the Proverbs?
Yes, sir.
They are the most amazing. It's one of the most amazing books. If you ever have an opportunity to get a book by Charles Bridges and his commentary on the Proverbs, it's amazing. It's an old writing. It's written back in the 1800s. So, I mean, you have to really concentrate on the... That's why it's amazing to me that the King James Bible is so easy to be understood. Because I read some guys that wrote back in the 1800s, and man, I got to look it up. I got to have a dictionary sitting right next to me, try to figure out what they said. I probably got 200 words in my vocabulary. They had 2,000 words. But the insight of Solomon is almost overwhelming. And God gave him that because of one reason. Listen to me, because he loved the Lord. You know what happens when God blesses somebody? All of a sudden, many times they think that they're so blessed because they're so special. No, the only reason God blesses us is because God is a sovereign and holy God that chooses to bless us. And the reason that he blessed Solomon was because Solomon's heart was turned toward God until he got involved with all of those women that were totally against the things of God. Every woman that is mentioned there in the text is people that God said don't have anything to do with these people. He said when you have something to do with these people, they'll turn your heart from God. And that's exactly what happened. So his reign was shortened. His life was shortened because he didn't finish right. Because he turned his back on God, and turn to idols, he finished bad. Now, the Bible doesn't tell us this, but I think about stuff like this. So Solomon dies. Now what's all those houses of ill repute going to set there? I mean, think about it. All these women, all of these idols, all of these houses of worship that were not involved in the temple worship. Then the last thing is Solomon dies. The Bible says in verse 43, Solomon slept with his fathers and was buried in the city of David his father, and Rehoboam his son reigned in his stead. Let me tell you something, my friend. One day we're going to die.
Amen.
And it won't be long after our death that people will find out life just goes on. But God's keeping a record. The Bible said he slept with his fathers and was buried in the city of David his father. Now here, listen to this. In spite of his apostasy, and by the way, let's be reminded what apostasy is. Apostasy is to know the truth and then to turn away from the truth. To know the truth, accept the truth, live the truth, and then turn your back on the truth. I don't care what anybody says. That's apostasy. And in spite of his apostasy at the end of his life, he was still buried in Jerusalem with great honor. Also slept with his father means he went where his father went. Now that don't always mean that, but you know what? There's no doubt in my mind that Solomon was what we would call in the New Testament a saved man. That's why he died early. Because he was a saved man who knew the truth, who loved God, whose heart was turned toward God, and then at some point his heart is turned away from God. You know what? God kept a record.
Amen.
Now, Solomon fell into apostasy at the end of his life. Before the resurrection of Christ, those who died in the Lord went to Abraham's bosom, which is called paradise, or Abraham's bosom. It's very clearly written out in Luke chapter 16. When the rich man died and the Bible said he went to hell, and there was this great gulf fixed in the center of the earth, and on one side was paradise and on the other side was hell. And so Solomon is in paradise, and there are those that are in hell. And when Jesus resurrected from the dead, the Bible said he led captivity captive, meaning now that people can be in heaven. And then Isaiah said, hell hath enlarged itself. And I believe that when they took the saints out of paradise, that hell just got bigger and darker and more wicked. But those who die outside of the Lord go to hell. Does everybody get that? Can I say it out loud? If you're not saved, if you don't know Christ as your Savior, there's not three places to go when you die. There's only two. To be absent from the body for a child of God is to be present with the Lord. So therefore, somebody that is not saved, to be absent from the body is to be outside of the presence of God. While we're not told, we can imagine the splendor of Solomon's funeral. I'm sure it was a big to-do. But it doesn't change the fact that his condition was backslidden when he died. God was angry with him and God judged him. And listen to me, he was out of fellowship with God and he was backslidden when he died. Don't be like that.
Amen.
Don't go down that path. He turned his back on God and God's wrath was on him. Now the Bible says lastly though, Rehoboam, his son, reigned in his stead. Now we know this from last message. That didn't turn out too good. He was full of pride. He was full of himself. He listened to the young men when he should have listened to the old men. Now there's a story right there. You need to put some old men in your life that you can listen to that has wisdom. Rehoboam reigned in his stead, but he was a bad replacement and he did not have the wisdom to rule in the first place. And Jeroboam, who God raised up against Solomon, was also not a good king because he didn't do what God said. So here's the bottom line. If you don't do what God says, it won't end good.
Amen.
But if you do what God says, it'll end good.
Amen.
We only have one life. You don't have two lives to live. You only have one. We all have a record. And it's being written right now.
Yes, sir.
It's being written. Make sure we write a good book and not a book like Solomon ended with. Man, the book started out really good. And the book ended really bad. What book are you writing? Let's stand tonight, every head bowed, every eye closed. What book are you writing? God help us tonight as the record of our life is being lived out on a day-by-day basis. God, I pray tonight that you would speak to our hearts in such a way that we would be convicted to love the Lord thy God with all of our soul, all of our heart, and all of our mind, and that we would not fall into a place of idolatry, apostasy, wickedness, God's anger and wrath upon us. May God help us tonight. It's very simple, Lord. A book is being written. We make choices every day. God help us tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Great invitation, $4.99. I'll live for Him. I'll live for Him.